if you are constantly bringing in new tools, that is going to burn out your students. It's going to burn out the faculty. So they may be using the LMS discussion board in one course, but then if we're asking them to use something like VoiceThread in another course, and then in a different course they're using something else, we have to think about the time investment in their learning all of these different tools, let alone learning the content that they need to for the course.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. This is Mike Jones, and I am typically working behind the scenes as an engineer on the show. But today, I am at the Slate 2021 conference up in Naperville, Illinois. And we are talking with conference guests about four questions that have to deal with the intersection of technology and education. Those questions are, what are the greatest challenges faced by students as they engage with digital technology as part of their academic programs? And what are the greatest challenges faced by faculty as they engage with digital technology as part of their academic programs? And three, if you could wave a magic wand and remedy a common digital challenge faced by students and faculty, what challenge would you eliminate? And finally, four, what does the future hold for all of us as we engage with technology as teachers and learners? So we hope you enjoy the word on the street that we captured live at the Slate conference.
Hello everyone, my name is Fatina Issa and I am an instructional designer with Orbis Education. For those who are not familiar, Orbis Education is an OPM, an online program management firm that partners with universities that specialize in nursing education programs, hybrid programs. We're also trying to take a look at other programs such as the other health sciences, so lab science, if someone wants to be an OT or an OTA.
How do you partner? Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure, absolutely. So if a university doesn't have an in-group as far as instructional designer department or instructional designers that are in-house, they can contract with my company, and then we are assigned a specific university and we work with their leadership in order to develop a hybrid program. So for example, I'm currently partnering with a university in Virginia and we are developing their hybrid nursing program. So that's a combination of the online content plus the clinical experiences, because I certainly wouldn't want to have a nurse practice on me if they haven't been practicing during their studies. So with a lot of what we do, we start with what they do on ground, and we don't just convert it and just take it as is. We use the best practices and evidence-based research and develop what will be an ideal student experience online as well as in the clinic or in the simulated lab.
Oh, very nice. So does the school have to have a sim lab for this to be effective?
You know what? It doesn't necessarily have to be a sim lab. We are able to bring in a lot of the elements that a university may not already have in place.
Okay.
So with the university that I am partnered with, they already have a lot of sim lab elements in place. We just help streamline it a little bit as far as the program we're developing, because it is an accelerated nursing program as opposed to what they have on ground.
So accelerated meaning in years or months?
In years.
Okay.
In years. So within four semesters, these students will be ready to take their licensure exam and hopefully become practicing nurses.
Well, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today at the table.
I appreciate it, Mike.
Let's see about this question. So
okay.
If you could wave a magic wand and remedy a common digital challenge faced by students and faculty, what challenge would you eliminate?
Bringing in tech just for the sake of having technology in a program.
So explain a little here.
The number of conversations I have had where I have to say, okay, you have this new shiny tool that either someone is telling you to use or you want to use this digital technology. Let's take a step back. What academic problems are we trying to solve first? Let's concentrate on those challenges and then see if the tool is the right fit. So for example, I had someone the other day talk to me about VoiceThread, which is a fantastic tool that allows students to have discussions asynchronously. At the same time, how is that going to add on to the experience that the students have when we take a look at what they already have available within their learning management system at the university?
So look at the tools and do what they have work. Do you really need something else? Or is this the right solution?
Right, because we're taking a look at the cost factor. We're also taking a look at the investment of time to learn the tools. We're also taking a look at what additional support do we need to build around the tool to make that tool work with the systems that are already in place. And if they don't already work in place, then what additional components do we need to bring in? So it's more than just the cost. It's the time investment. It's from the faculty's perspective. How are they going to use that with their lessons? How are they going to end up grading the assignments around it? So it's all of these different nuances with different technologies. At the same time, I always go back to what challenges are we trying to solve?
Right. And I think you said something really important there is the cognitive load that you put on faculty and students when you introduce new technology. That's a big hurdle to overcome.
It is a big hurdle to overcome. And unless it is something that you are going to start students with early on in the program and continue, if you are constantly bringing in new tools, that is going to burn out your students. It's going to burn out the faculty. So they may be using the LMS discussion board in one course, but then if we're asking them to use something like VoiceThread in another course, and then in a different course they're using something else, We have to think about the time investment in their learning all of these different tools, let alone learning the content that they need to for the course.
Right. So in the situation where your company comes in and partners with Pace Technology, how might you roll out a new technology that is the right fit to faculty and students? What might be a good strategy for that?
Well, one of the responses that we joke about with my department is it depends. It depends on what is already available within the university, and it depends on what is within the budget for that particular university. There are some things that we can suggest as far as what is usable. Let me give you another example. So we have a lot of assignments in the program that I'm helping develop where we have students develop infographics because not everyone is going to want to develop a paper, and that's really not going to be, you know, something that students want to do all the time. So we talked about, okay, if we're going to have students develop an infographic, say, for example, we have a nursing student develop an infographic on all of the different roles of an interprofessional team. What does that look like? Okay, then let's take a step back. Do we already have something in place that is going to help students create such infographic? Okay, if we don't, then here are the potential options. Which ones may be a high cost as far as student investment to learn?
Okay.
What's going to be...
Now, we're talking financial cost, not necessarily cognitive load there, right?
We'll get to cognitive load because that's important, too. It's taking a look at the cost. It's also taking a look at, okay, if it's a free tool, what is that company doing with the student data? That's another thing that I mentioned to my faculty. Just because it's free doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be able to control the data.
Right.
So we take a look at that. And then we take a look at how long is it going to take the students and yourself as the faculty to learn said tool. I can put my mind to anything and, okay, great, we can have the faculty do the same thing. Now multiply that by two or three times as far as what students would need to do.
Sure.
As far as learning how to do it. So I don't know if I'm directly answering the question.
No, it's perfect, yeah. Yeah, that's the direction.
But it's definitely something to consider. A lot of the tools that have been brought to my attention, I investigate them right along with the faculty. And one of the things that I also have them think about, which I mentioned before, is what is grading going to look like with this thing? Because if you have, I don't know, 24 to 30 plus students, and you're taking a look at how that is going to be impacting the time that you're grading, that's adding to your load, not necessarily just the student's end. And then the other thing that we want to think about, going back to the student data, where is that data being housed? If it's housed in the website of that particular company's tool, how is that going to be extracted, if it can be extracted, and put back into the learning management system? Because accreditors are going to want to see all of that data in one location. They don't want, nor do they have the time, to jump to different areas. If they are taking a look at the quality of a course, and that's also going to be helpful when we do analysis down the road, we don't want to be jumping to different places where all the data is either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, integration, I would think, with the systems
integration,
that
absolutely.
Already exist would be really important there, too.
That's key. And that's one of the first questions that I tend to ask as well.
Hi, I'm Shetty Bredis. I'm an application delivery team member, and I'm a systems engineer at Illinois Tech.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
What are the greatest challenges faced by faculty as they engage with digital technology as part of their academic programs?
The first thing I would say is there's a large learning curve for a lot of faculty. While we are a technology university, a lot of academics are really stuck on the in-person total response. We've had hybrid technology for the past 20 years. We started a digital classroom before 2000.
Wow.
So it's a thing of just getting the faculty on board to trying something new. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things we saw during the pandemic when it first happened was a difficult time getting teachers to change their curricula and establish syllabi.
Right. So what strategies did you use to help?
We went ahead and did one-on-one meetings with the faculty. We held separate sessions. I was the person in charge of contacting each department, finding out who the key faculty and staff were, discussing with them how we could teach them how to use the solutions we had on hand, and hearing from them one-on-one what exactly we weren't meeting so that we could do some research and find some technology that would help them teach better.
If you had to make a list to say the top two things they said they weren't getting that they needed, what would you say those were?
The first one was software content delivery, because they lost access to their physical labs, and our virtual computing lab was in its infancy at that time.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing. The second one, I would say, it was difficult for them to get students to engage with them, because they weren't used to actively hitting up students, without them right in front of them, being just randomly calling on someone or calling on a remote control ID for someone to hit and answer.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Yeah.
I could see that. And you said number four, too?
Correct.
Okay, so number four says, what does the future hold for all of us as we engage with technology as teachers and learners?
Well, I think the biggest thing is virtual desktops and virtual application delivery. I'm actually speaking tomorrow on that, on what we went ahead and did. We went with a solution called Aporto, which is a virtual computing lab. It launches applications through a browser, so it's completely platform independent. Mm. It equalizes the technology experience, because it doesn't matter what kind of machine you're on. You can use AutoCAD on a cell phone if you have to.
Wow.
It's that powerful. The virtualized server that's on there is using a physical graphics card for high intensity programs. So what you end up doing is someone who has $100 tablet can be running a full-on simulation that they would normally require almost server build to run.
That's almost like virtual machines when they first rolled those out, where you had your dumb terminals. It's generic. That's really good.
And we also offer virtual machines too, but these ones allow each application to open up in a browser window and run as if they're running a desktop interface.
That's powerful. And a browser on a smartphone to a tablet to a computer to whatever.
Correct. And then the really awesome part is we now have the ability to go ahead and virtualize Macs as well, so we don't even have to worry about bringing that technology cost component in. once we deploy that, we're no longer going to have to purchase physical Macintoshes to get people to learn how to use them.
Wow, that's powerful. How's licensing work with that?
Licensing, we pay definitely a little bit more for the Mac ones.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a per seat licensing based on bulk.
Okay.
Amounts. I can't comment on how much they cost because each university will be different. We were a pilot university. So.
Okay, well, cool. Thanks for sharing that with us today. That's awesome.
Of course.
And thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Hi, I'm Linda Warwick. I'm from Oakland Community College, and I'm an instructional technologist. I've been doing my work over 2 decades now, so still a lot of work and need for what I do.
Absolutely, every day. Very good. Now, we got some questions for you there, so pick the one you're interested in and give us an answer.
I think the greatest challenges faced by faculty is that there are so many choices now for different tools and technologies, and it is a difficult choice as to what to do and use and how to do it. And I really like Slate today in the conference, because what are you trying to achieve when you're using this tool? Not just I'm going to use this technology tool because it's new and cool and great, and because it's offered to me maybe for free at the college. So trying to also help faculty become more familiar with different tools and things that are available to them, and help them actually become a lot more proficient with some of the skills they can use and build on over time, and not to go too quickly, just to move at a pace where they're comfortable. And I think that's where we're at with technology, is still kind of grow the use in a way, but the appropriate use with our students in mind.
Besides pacing, what are some other strategies faculty could use for learning new technologies and implementing them in the classroom?
Some of the things that I think are real useful to faculty are, of course, trying to avoid just trial and error use of technology. That can be a good thing, but going in, looking around, coming up with some questions, thinking about how and why you use something, then seek out someone like myself as an instructional technologist who can help you with the academic use of technology, who can provide you with a couple of options or choices for things that you can use. Maybe encourage you to get ready to use another tool, but not to introduce too many things too quickly. And I think that's what I like to say, is maybe plant the seed, hey, you should be thinking about maybe that Zoom in a little while and trying to get used to the synchronous part of that, using some of those sessions or recording for your students. But right now, maybe the asynchronous use of the discussion board is real good for you. But don't do too much too quickly. It can be too much on yourself and the students, and that can just produce a little bit more stress than you want. So you want it to be, you know, kind of organic, kind of grow along, but you want to be very mindful about getting appropriate support, training, and those types of things, which the department I work for, the Academic Technologies Group, offers.
Awesome. So future cast a little bit for me. What do you think instructional technologist job looks like in the future?
Well, I always say, you know, there's a couple of football fields, and then push it out a couple more, and there we're going to be. That's how much the field is growing, the use of tools, the times that we're in. It's reinforced to me why I've gone into the field. I've been in my work over 2 decades now as an instructional technologist, and I think that there will be new things and new ways to do things a little bit differently, a little bit smarter, and it'll be our job as a structural technologist to help lead that innovation, help be patient, help encourage, and help train the future faculty of tomorrow.
Wonderful. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your answers today. Mm-hmm. Is there any other ones you wanted to give a shot at today?
I think that's good. I hope I said enough, because you got me talking. It must have been that long ride in the car here from Michigan to Illinois.
Well, we've been in lockdown for too long. We all want to talk.
Yep. That's why we came to Slate today. It isn't in person.
That's right. Thank you so much, Linda. Appreciate your answers today.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are 3 things we ask you to do. 1, come back and join us again. 2, tell your friends about us. And 3, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Embrace the future.
Always keep learning.